Wow, that was really awesome. I hope I can live up to the introduction. Thank you. And thank you, all of you, for being here this evening, for coming together. And I think that the quote that Loretta made about when I received the Medal of Freedom from President Obama, and I felt that that was such a big honor, to be honored as a community organizer, because as we know, our president was also a community organizer, right? Anyone shot Taylor and make fun of him? Yeah, for being a community organizer. And, you know, I also just want to mention a couple of things. So I hope when they have that organizer training that one of the people that you invite to that is Pam Whalen. And I say that because, as we know, Pam is an incredible organizer. She, like myself and others, were trained by the great Fred Ross Sr. I'm just going to ask a question. How many of you know of this person, Fred Ross Sr.? Raise your hands. Yes. Well, quite a few in this audience. Unfortunately, most of you don't know who Fred Ross Sr. is because he was such a great organizer. Because the work of a great organizer is to empower other people to become leaders. And that's what Fred Ross did. So it was not only myself, but Cesar Chavez, Pam Whalen, and many others are the people that he inspired and taught us how to do organizing. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in detail. But at the same time, many of you may know that yesterday at the 40 Acres in Delano, California, where we started the Farm Workers Union, we celebrated the 50 years anniversary of the Delano website. And I want to mention a couple of people that that were there with us. Doug Rippey. Doug Rippey's in the crowd somewhere. Who are you, Doug? He's way back there. Okay. I'm mentioning Doug Rippey because he was one of the many young volunteers that came to work with the Farm Workers Union. He was like in the first group that came out there, and the kids that they dropped out of school, went down there to help the farm workers out in that strike without any kind of funding, no money. You know, when Doug was there, there was $0. Later on, we got $5 a week, right, Doug? And then it went up to $10 a week a few years later. But they had that great commitment to really bring justice to the farm workers, and it was great. And another person I want to introduce real quickly is Yolanda Chacon. Serna? Yolanda? Yolanda Serna, also part of the original strike in Delano. And you know, many of you probably saw the Cesar Chavez movie. And if you didn't, well, this one, it kind of looked like, if you saw that movie, that kind of Cesar walked out into the field and kind of, you know, waved the flag, and all the workers came out, right? That's right. But that isn't exactly the way it happened. It actually happened that we started organizing the union in 1962. For 3 years, we organized the workers in their homes through what we call house meetings. What is that? What is a house meeting? A house meeting is when you get 6 to 8 people in their home, you talk to them about the issues, you show them the victories that have been wrought in the past by people that look like them, and then you go on to get a commitment from them that they will also help to solve their problems. And in this kind of method that we use, Cesar and myself, by the way, taught to us by the great Fred Ross, we were able to organize farm workers all up and down the Central Valley. And our plan was not to have a strike right away. We wanted to organize till 1968 for 5 years and then bring everybody out on strike. You know, everybody come out on strike. But of course it didn't happen that way because Filipino brothers, they had a strike in Coachella, they decided to go out ahead of time, and so we had to kind of scrap that plan and go with a new plan to start the Filipino grape strike. But the point that I want to make here is that organizing in people's homes was the key to organizing the Farm Workers Union. So the day that we said, okay, we're going to go on strike, September the 16th of 1965, the people were already organized. They were already organized. You know, they knew why they were coming out on strike. You know, they were already informed about, you know, not only what the risks were going to be, but also the goals that we were trying to achieve. And when we look at the challenges that we have in terms of elections, I really do believe that that grassroots organizing has got to be a very key part of this. And it's not hard, it's not rocket science, but what it is very time consuming. If I say the word Tupperware parties, okay, or jewelry parties, like a lot of women here, you know what I mean. This is basically what it is, because in every meeting that we have, We try to get people in that house committed that they will help. Because one thing that we have to teach them is they have to understand that if they do not solve their problems, then nobody's going to do it for them. Nobody's going to do it for them. They have to do it themselves. And the other thing is that, you know, people would say, well, how are you going to organize the workers? They don't have any money. They don't speak English. They're not citizens. They're very intimidated and afraid. How are you going to organize them? So the one thing that we had to say to people, and this is what we have to say to people that we are organizing for elections, you've got the power.
That's right.
But the power is in your person.
Yes.
And you don't need anything else. You may not have a high school diploma, but the power is in your person. And yesterday, there was one of the young men that came to join the celebration, and I'd like to talk about him. He was a young farm worker, totally illiterate, could not read or write in English or in Spanish. And so when we were getting volunteers, from the strikers to go on the Great Boycott, we were asking people, where do they want to go? And Caesar was writing the names of the different cities. And Caesar said, Boston. Well, poor Marcos, not being illiterate, he thought he said Barstow. And he had a girlfriend in Barstow. So he was all revved up to go to Barstow. They put him on a plane and he ends up in Boston. But this man who could not read or write, he got the students from Harvard and Yale, Brandeis University, Boston University, and those were his volunteers.
Wow.
Those are the people that he had on his picket lines, and they made his leaflets, and they made his posters, and everything. In fact, the fellow who started Plaga Bilingüe, Morales, Hugo Morales, he was one of Marcos Muñoz's volunteers, right? And I say that story because, you know, when we think of ourselves and all of us here, because, you know, we have this mission that we have to accomplish to bring true democracy to the Central Valley. You know, we have an education, we're literate, we can learn, you know, we can read and write. And we can think of what these farm workers did going all over the country, getting 17 million people to boycott grapes. Hey, we should be able to take care of the Central Valley, right? That's kind of an amazing task that we have to do. We know that the opposition has a ton of money. We know that we're facing people like the Koch brothers. You know that they have, what, $40 million. They're super, super millionaires. But you know what, that shouldn't scare us. I want to give you a couple of examples. I was lucky enough to be with the Pope, okay? And the mass that we had for the Pope, I happened to have the good luck to sit next to Terry McCullough. He's the governor of Virginia.
Yeah,
Terry. Anyway, I had the good fortune to work on his campaign when he was running for the governorship of Virginia, and in working the Latino community. In Virginia, the Latinos only comprise about 7% of the population, 7%. But in that election, when Terry McCullough ran, there were 63,000 Latinos that voted in that election. He won by 53,000 votes.
Wow.
He won by 53,000 votes. So we know it was the Latino vote that put him over the top. Put him over the top. So we know that that is one of the targets that we have to have as our Latino community. And we know that we have, the numbers are huge. The numbers are huge in the Central Valley of the Latino community. But we've got to be out there and we've got to make sure that they... But you know, when people talk about voter registration right now, I get turned off. In Kern County, you know, everybody comes in and they all come with their different organizations and they're going to go out there and they register voters, okay? So they registered 19,000 new voters. You know how many of those 19,000 voted? 4,000 out of 19,000. So people are out there and they're getting money to register voters or whatever. That is not the issue. The issue, we have to register voters, but we have to educate the voters of how to vote, okay? This is what we have to do. We have to educate them like we do in those House meetings. Tell them what the issues are. Tell them why it's important for them to vote. And if they don't know how to do, you know, handle that big ballot, just let them know which are the things that are important for them to vote on, and we can get them to vote. In my organization, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, and by the way, I have to say this too, Indianapolis Farm Workers is starting back, way back with Fred Ross and the Community Service Organization. By the way, we had our first convention here in Fresno for United Farm Workers on September the 30th, okay? Wow. In 1962, right here. Wow. Yeah, tomorrow that would have been. Anyway, in the CSO, which preceded, Recessit and I worked before we built a union, this is what we would do. Get people registered to vote, you know, and make sure that they vote. So we already had that history, which we also brought into the United Farm Workers. And so in my organization, the Lord's Brother Foundation, we are continuing that those tasks that we have to do that are so important. And I want you to know that even though we lost our congressional and our Senate races here in the Central Valley for Kern and Fresno and Tulare County, in our area where we have been organizing through House meetings, we won 11 elections. We won 11 elections. Arvin City Council, the little city of Arvin, we now have a majority of our people, our progressives on the city council. Three of them are under the age of 25 years old. We have taken over the water board. We have a majority of the water board. We have taken over the recreation board in another little town, Lamont, California. And we have our people on four different school boards, okay? Four different school boards. And I heard the presentation there about the 8% higher. In the areas of where we have been working now for several years, I have to say that, our voter turnout is 15% higher. Woo-hoo! Than the rest of Kern County, 15% higher. And we want to make that even better. And so we know that it can be done, that we can make it happen. And talking about education, which is, of course, one of the big issues that we're working on, we actually sued the Kern High School District for the huge suspension and expulsion of African-American and Latino children. African-American kids, they were suspended almost 600% higher than white kids. Latino kids, almost 500% higher. So we have a lawsuit against them, and now, you know, we're going to go in mediation and trying to settle this. But we know that we're not going to solve that problem until we kick the rascals out. Because it's totally controlled by the Tea Party. But when we started taking on this issue of education, we started with the parents. Our first parent conference that we had, after a series of house meetings, we had 155 parents at our first conference. 155 parents. And we got the parents are the ones that are going to the school board, getting the testimonies that we need. So we know that if we start from the bottom, if we start from the grassroots, that's the way that we build the strength of our communities and get them to do the work. And by the way, we are also setting up a permanent voter structure so that we could, and we're not calling them precincts, because some of these precincts are huge, right? They're huge. So we're calling them by neighborhood organizations. So we can have people in every neighborhood that are committed, that they're going to be going door to door in their neighborhood. They're going to see who's registered to vote. They're going to see who has gotten an absentee ballot or signed up an absentee ballot, and also who needs to become a citizen of the United States of America, and giving them the education that they need. The other thing we do, we have these candidates forums, where we bring all the candidates together, and we have a big public meeting like this one. And then we let the candidates make like a 3-minute presentation of what they stand for. But then after that, we give them three cards. We give them a green card, a red card, and a yellow card. And we ask them, here they cannot make a speech, they can just say yes or no. Do you stand, in the last election, do you stand for driver's licenses, right? You put up a red card or yellow card. Green for yes, or yellow for undecided. And then after they answer those questions, then we type them up. We make leaflets out of them, and we pass them out in the communities, because we're a 501c3, right? We're a nonprofit organization, but you can educate people on how they stand on the different issues, on immigration reform, on climate change, on the things that are important to us.
You are listening to Dolores Huerta, the co-founder of the United Farm Workers Union, speaking on September 27th in Fresno at the fall fundraiser for the Central Valley Progressive PAC.
And, of course, we, like many of you, we all worked on Proposition 30. Remember Proposition 30, everybody?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, that was a great one. Well, you know that's going to be on the ballot, too. And why is Proposition 30 important? Because we've got to tax the millionaires, right?
Yeah.
We've got to tax the millionaires, and they had to pay 3% more in state taxes. If they make $500,000, they pay 2% more. If they make $250,000 a year, they have to pay 1% more in state taxes. As a result of Proposition 30, we got close to, over $6 billion into the state revenues. $6 billion, and we did it. We did it. Everyone did that, by voting that proposition in. And I understand that for the next election, 2016, that we're going to try to get an extension of Proposition 30, because when we had to compromise, when we put that on the ballot in 2012, that it would have a sunset provision and that it would end. So it's important that we do that. And I want to mention another proposition that's going to be on the ballot, and this is for, hopefully, we're not sure yet because there's about $100 million to fight this one, but we're trying to get commercial property tax reform. Yeah. Commercial property tax reform. So the people like Chevron, Disney, down in Anaheim, they're not paying their fair share of property taxes. Homeowners, your property taxes have been going up and up and up, and guess what? Theirs have remained stagnant, right? So that's another big one. If we can pass that one, we will be bringing in an additional $8 billion, right? $8 billion into the state. And so this is the way that we have to do this to try to make sure that all of those big corporations, that they pay their fair share of taxes so that we can get what we need. One of the things that happened that many of you will remember when Proposition 13 passed way back when, since that time, our population in the state of California has almost doubled, and we don't have the income, the revenues to be able to support the services that we need. Now, the other thing is about, we were talking here about the elections, but thank you, Pam, and everybody for saying, we've got to get some good candidates, right? Yes. We've got to get some good candidates to run. And I know that's always very daunting for people, but when we think of the people that are in power right now, my gosh, we have to get inspired to run for office. And of course, we have to be able to build that network of voters so that we don't have to have trillions of dollars to be able to run for office. And I always like to remind people, too, I talked about the Chairman Culp campaign. Remember when Jerry Brown ran for governor this last time? Yes. No, the time before this last one. But anyway, his opponent, Meg Whitman, what did she spend? $160 million? You remember that? $160 million. Jerry Brown spent $35 million. And do you know that he never hired a consultant? Yeah, Jerry ran his own campaign. He never hired a consultant. So we've got to learn how to do this work for elections at the grassroots level so that we can get on those school boards, as we said before, get on those city councils, make sure we get really good people elected to the state legislature and to the Congress. You know, when we think about us in the Central Valley, my goodness, and, you know, many of us, some people I remember used to say back in the 60s, 70s, if you want to get ahead, you've got to leave the Central Valley. Well, you know what? Some of us have to stay here, right? Some of us have to stay here, and we've got to apply for the social justice that we need for the people who live here. And, you know, this is not a poor area. Our people are poor because all the money is on the top. And then that money gets down to the working people and the people that really create the wealth of the Central Valley. And so that's what we have to change. And we're going to have to do it by labor organizing. We're going to have to do it by voting. But the thing is that we can eventually make it happen. Oh, my God. I am so impressed with how many people are here tonight. Because this is, you know, when we won that great boycott, that when we won that great boycott, this is going to astound you when I tell you this. There were 40 farm workers that left Galena, California to go to New York. And from there, they went to Massachusetts, and they went to Chicago, and they went to Florida. There were 40 farm workers that started that great boycott, going to all the cities and talking to the churches and the schools and every place, all community organizations, and to get support for the great boycott. We are like, wow, four times that many, maybe five times that many right here today. So I know that this is the group that is going to make it happen. There is no reason why we in the Central Valley should have the poverty that we have, the really reactionary Tea Party type of representation that we have, and we just got to go out there and we've got to organize and talk to people, make them understand that they matter, that their votes matter. By the way, another great statistic I just want to mention, throw this one out. This one really makes the Republicans shudder. In the United States of America, every month, 50,000 Latinos turn 18 years old. So this is one of the areas that I think we have to go to. You know, we've got to go to the high school and register kids to vote. So we've had connections up there, and maybe some of the schools will be reluctant to make this happen. But to all those high schools that we can get into and register them to vote, you know, if they turn 18 by the time of the election in 2016, we can register them to vote. So that's another source of votes that we have. And maybe we should also pressure Alex by the Secretary of State to have voting on the campuses.
Voting on the campuses.
In Colorado, you know, we just defeated a bill against reproductive rights for women,
right.
And it was won on the campuses. I was up there in Colorado campaigning on that one, and this is how it was won. So we have to start looking at other ways that we can make sure that we get everybody to vote, and I think that we can make it happen. So I also want to say that, yes, I want to join the Progressive Pack and hit my $100. So I hope that other people will also sign the check for $100 or more, and that you have many more fundraisers, because I do see right here, I think this is a historic moment. This is an historic moment, because I think that we are going to see that right here, the electoral revolution, the electoral revolution in the Central Valley of California is going to happen. And it happened in September the 30th of 1962. We had the Farm Workers Convention here to start the National Farm Workers Association right here in Fresno. And today, you know, here we are almost 50 years to the day, we are having the Progressive PAC here of the Central Valley is being, I guess you already were formed already, but anyway, we could say this is our convention, right?
Yeah.
This is our convention, and we're going to go forth, and we're going to take it all in the Central Valley, and we're going to change it and make this Central Valley a place of justice for all. A place of justice for all. And so I am going to throw out the question, and I'm going to ask you the question, and I'm going to say, who's got the power?
We got the power!
And what kind of power?
People power!
Okay, some people were not quite sure. So we're going to do that again. We're going to say it with a lot more of power and vigor. We're going to say, who's got the power? And you're going to yell, we've got the power!
Power.
Really loud, okay? One more time. Who's got the power?
We have the power!
What kind of power?
People power!
Okay, now we're going to do that one more time, but this time when I say what kind of power, I want you to say voting power, all right? Voting power, all right. Who's got the power?
We got the power!
What kind of power?
Voting power!
All right, so we're going to get out there, we're going to educate these voters, we're going to work as hard as we can, we're going to set up these neighborhood committees and make sure people understand why they're voting, why they need to vote, and then we can make it happen. So I'm going to say, ¿Se puede?
Sí, se puede.
And that, of course, no, as we know, means yes, we can, okay? So we're going to say sí, se puede, but we're going to do it with an organized hand clap, okay? With an organized, it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of organization. Let's go.
Sí, se puede.